Welcome to the Man in the Mirror Bible Study Podcast. Today we are continuing our series, looking at the wisdom of James. And our topic today is why you should not judge your brother. Our speaker is Brett Clemmer, president of Man in the Mirror.
As Pat said, we are going over to Kuala Lumpur, which is the Malaysia. It's in Malaysia, which is, you have Indonesia, and then you have Singapore, and then you have Malaysia. So I'm looking forward to being over there at the end of July for the Transformed Conference, and with our guys over at MIM Asia that are sponsoring that, and they have groups like this, mostly not quite as big as this, but mostly that meet in businesses, in conference rooms, all across Southeast Asia in five or six different countries, over 40 groups that are meeting, doing Man of the Mirror material, and just wrote some new curriculum based on some of Pat's books and resources, and so we're really excited to roll that out this summer. So stay tuned. Lots of great stuff going on there. Well, if you have a Bible, turn to James chapter 4, and we're going to be in verses, just two verses this morning, verse 11 and 12. And here's my question for you. Have you ever felt that church was not a safe place? I don't mean you were like in physical danger, like you didn't think the pastor was going to come off the stage and strangle you or anything, but you just felt like it wasn't a safe place for you. It's a place that you can't be open about your past. You can't be open about your doubts. You can't be open about your struggles. Have you ever felt that church was like that? Or have you ever been in a church where you feel like politics is running rampant? There's those on the inside and there's those on the outside. And those on the inside speak poorly of those that are on the outside or anybody that disagrees with them. And so they push the people that aren't sort of in that in group, they sort of push them to the periphery. Have you ever seen that? Or have you seen fellow Christians who just don't like the way a church operates? Maybe it's the preaching or it's the music or it's the programs, or maybe they just have a personality conflict with someone in leadership. And so they speak poorly of those people. They speak poorly of the leaders, or they speak poorly of the church. And sometimes you're just like, why are you here? If you feel this bad about the people that are leading this church or the people that are involved in serving, why are you even here? And these two verses that we're going to look at this morning sort of run the gamut of those kinds of issues that we have in the church. So let me read for you James 4, 11, and 12, and then we'll pray. James 4, 11, and 12. Do not speak evil against one another, brothers. The one who speaks against a brother or judges his brother speaks evil against the law and judges the law. But if you judge the law, you are not a doer of the law, but a judge. There is only one lawgiver and judge, he who is able to save and to destroy. But who are you to judge your neighbor? Let's pray. Father, as we come together this morning as men, we want to listen to what you have to tell us through your word. Spirit, we pray that you would help us have understanding. Jesus, we pray that you would help us to know more about you, that we would understand what it's like to live in you and for you. And Father, we want to make this time a time of worship. And we ask, Lord, that you just help us to understand this word this morning and that you would help us apply it into our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, so here's our outline for this morning. For some, the church is dangerous. For some, the church is dangerous, or at least it's unwelcoming. And then we're going to talk about there's one judge and lawgiver, and newsflash, it's not you. It's not me. And then finally, we're going to talk about doing your job and letting God do his. Doing your job and letting God do his. So for some, the church is dangerous. The first part of this passage, James says, do not speak evil against one another, brothers. And so let's break this down really quickly. Do not. Anybody know what do not means? He's dope, right? But what this is saying is stop. So James isn't saying like, hey, if this ever might happen to come up, like, don't do this. He's like speaking to a present, the way the grammar is in the original language. He's speaking to something that's going on right now. He's like, stop doing this. So stop speaking evil against one another, brothers. And speaking evil in this case means one of two things, either speaking harshly. So like that person that's critical in the church that we talked about, either of the church or people that are critical of other people, just speaking harshly about somebody, or even worse than speaking harshly, slandering someone. And then he says, against one another, brothers. So who's he directing this to? And males, he said, and believers. Okay. So this is a direct James, you know, the whole book sort of leads up to this. But James is speaking very specifically to believers. So he's saying, brothers, stop speaking harshly about each other. Stop slandering each other. And you can imagine what must have been going on for them to get a letter from James, the leader of the church in Jerusalem, telling them to stop saying these things, to stop slandering each other. If you go back to chapter 2, verse 8, you can see he brings this up here a little bit earlier. He says, if you really fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, you shall love your neighbor as yourself, you are doing well. So what's this? This is the opposite side of that. So you're not fulfilling the scripture, love your neighbor as yourself. You, in fact, are slandering each other. You're speaking harshly against each other, and you need to stop it. So what causes us, I gave you a couple of examples, but what causes us to speak harshly about each other? What have you seen among brothers in Christ that causes them to speak harshly about each other? Anger? Jealousy? Disagreement? Say that again. Mistrust? Excellent. What else? March Madness. How about Furman, huh? David Delk went to Furman. If you know David, the guy who preceded me, A Man in the Mirror, knocked off UVA. March Madness. So are any of these, anger, mistrust, jealousy, I heard a couple of other things. James is actually going to give us a little tour of where this comes from. So let's start with Psalms, though. David says this. He says, whoever slanders his neighbor secretly, I will destroy. Whoever has a haughty look and an arrogant heart, I will not endure. So where does David say that this slander comes from? It comes from an arrogant heart. So ultimately, you know, James takes it on the chin sometimes because they're like, well, it's all about works. No, but James understands that works come out of your heart. Like Jesus said, that the words you speak are out of the overflow of your heart. David says this, and James is alluding to this as well. And in fact, if you go back and look, I'm not gonna put them all up here, but just look at chapter 3, verse 5. So also the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great things. How great a forest is set ablaze by such a small fire. So he's talking about arrogant boasting. And then down in verse 14 and 16 of James 3, he says, but if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast and be false to the truth. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there will be disorder and every vile practice. So jealousy is something that leads to this behavior. Chapter 4, verses 1 and 3, he says, what causes quarrels and what causes fights among you? Is it not this, that your passions are at war within you? You ask and do not receive because you ask wrongly to spend it on your passions. So our self-centeredness, our self-centered desires might lead us to this speaking evil against our brothers. And then finally in verse 6 of chapter 4, he says, but he gives more grace. Therefore, it says, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. So pride can lead us to slander our brothers, can lead us to speak ill against our brothers. For some, the church is not a welcoming place. It's not a safe place. Because what's the church filled with? Sinners, right? We're all sinners. We're there for a reason. We're there because we know we need a Savior. But the process of sanctification, guys, is the process of ridding ourselves of jealousy and anger and boasting and pride and self-centeredness. And so as you see men who are actively like reflecting on who they are, building in their self-awareness, praying that God would show them their sin, you know, killing sin, sometimes you'll hear the word mortification. That's killing sin. That's like being aware of the sin in your life and actively fighting against it. When you actively fight against your sin and you actively seek to be sanctified, which is called vivification. Now you've learned two more words. Yeah, vivification, that's a lot of syllables, isn't it? When you're doing those two things, you're rooting out the sin out of your heart and you're replacing it with the grace of Christ, and you're not going to want to speak harshly. But unfortunately, there are a lot of people in church who make it unsafe for people to come in, especially people that are a little bit different, especially people that don't look the same. You know, maybe they've got tattoos up and down their arms. And, you know, somebody sort of, you know, says stuff about, have you seen his tattoos? I mean, he's got stuff on his knuckles. That's weird, right? And you think, oh, well, that's just a couple of friends talking, but that gets heard, that gets spilled out. Or the single woman that's there with her kids, just struggling to make it. And the kids aren't really that well behaved, you know, and you know, if you look deeper into the situation, you might find out that she's a widow or her husband abandoned her and her family, and she's just glad to be there. And yet the church sometimes for people that are struggling can be a place that doesn't feel very safe. It doesn't feel very welcoming. This is our responsibility, guys, to make the church a welcoming place, to make it a place where no matter where you're coming from, no matter what you're struggling with, no matter what doubts you have, that spiritually curious people, honest seekers, can find a place where they can figure things out, and they can find men like you, the guys that I'm looking at right now, who would be willing to sit down and get to know them, find out what's going on, and help them on their journey towards Christ. Let's make the church a safe and welcoming place. All right. So the next thing is then, is there is one judge and one lawgiver. The next part of this verse says, the one who speaks against a brother or judges his brother speaks evil against the law and judges the law. So look, if you look at this verse, you can see this parallel structure, right? Speaks against a brother, speaks evil against the law. Judges his brother, judges the law. James is setting this up as a dichotomy here, as an equality here. This equals this, this equals this. So what is the law that James is even talking about here? Jesus talked about this law as well. He said, when they asked him what the greatest commandment was, what did he say? Love the Lord with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And then what did he say? Love your neighbor as yourself. So we know he's quoting Deuteronomy in the Shema when he says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. But he's quoting Leviticus 19 when he says, love your neighbor as yourself. So, but let's go up to verse 16. Let's look at Leviticus 19, 16 and 18. Because verse 16 says, you shall not go around as a slanderer. Same concept that we're talking about in James. Among your people, you shall not go around as a slanderer among your people, and you shall not stand up against the life of your neighbor. I am the Lord. And then in verse 18, he says, you shall not take vengeance or bear a grudge against the sons of your own people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself, for I am the Lord. So in this case in Leviticus, we're seeing this is the law. James just referred to this. You remember back in James 2, we looked at it. I think it might be one of the last times I taught. when he was talking about partiality, he talked about fulfilling the royal law. This is the royal law. Jesus, remember we talked about Jesus said, I didn't come to abolish the law, I came to fulfill the law. The laws, the moral law is still in effect. And so loving your neighbor. And then think about this in context. This one, somebody said, oh, you said Israelites last time. This one is to the Israelites about how they treat fellow Israelites. All right? Perfect parallel to today. We are now God's chosen people. The church is God's chosen people. And the neighbors that are being talked about here in this scenario are the neighbors in the church, capital C church, in the body of Christ. And so this is the law that you're breaking, that you're speaking evil about. When you actually speak harshly about a brother, you're basically saying this law doesn't matter. Love your neighbor as yourself. No, I don't have to do that. And when you decide that there's a part of the law that you're not going to follow, it makes you the judge. You're judging, I don't need to follow that part of the law. I'm going to replace it with my own law, and you become the lawgiver. And you are not the lawgiver, and you are not the judge. And I'm not either. There's one lawgiver, there's one judge. It's God Almighty. We follow his laws. That's what James is saying here. So then the next part of this verse says, but if you judge the law, you are not a doer of the law, but a judge. And how does Jesus talk about judging others? And you can go over to Matthew 7, 1 through 5. Now, here's an interesting little side note here. James, I don't know if we've said this before, but James, you can like take most of James and you can go find a parallel passage in the Sermon on the Mount. Isn't that interesting? Like James talks about stuff that Jesus talked about. Talks about it slightly different ways, obviously uses different words, but you can see the influence, the obvious influence of Jesus on James just in the parallels between his letter and the Sermon on the Mount. And in verses 1 through 5 of Matthew 7, sort of in the middle, towards the end of the Sermon on the Mount, he says this, judge not that you be not judged. For with the judgment you pronounced, you will be judged, and with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Why do you see the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye? Or can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye when there's a log in your own eye? You hypocrite. First, take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. So the interesting thing here is that this is not a call to not judge. This is a call to judge wisely. This is a call, this is a reminder to us all that oftentimes when we see the speck in our brother's eye, it's because we've got a log in ours. We only notice, I think, a lot of times the sin in other people's lives that are the same sins that we struggle with. And we can either be sanctimonious about it and say, oh, well, I've dealt with that. I don't have a problem with that. Or we can be compassionate and say, you know what? I struggle with that exact same thing. Let's go on this journey together. And that's what it means to be a brother. That's what it means to be a neighbor. You reflect honestly. You have some self-awareness. Jesus says, make sure that you've taken care of your own sin before you even think about addressing the sin in a brother's life. And Paul picks up this theme in Romans 2. He says, therefore, you have no excuse, O man, every one of you who judges. For in passing judgment on another, you condemn yourself because you, the judge, practice the very same things. So this is a theme for us as men throughout the New Testament, really throughout Scripture. So should you never judge somebody? Of course, you have to have judgment, all right? You have to call sin when you see it, but it's just you need to call sin when you see it in your own life first, right? And then what we need to do is we need to be careful that we don't take a clear directive from Scripture and then add our own stuff to it and then start speaking harshly about other people because they don't meet our standard, which isn't even necessarily the standard of Scripture. Let me give you an example. Sex outside of marriage. It's adultery. It's a sin. No question. But when you start adding to it, like, oh, well, then kissing's a sin, or then holding hands is a sin, or you judge those who have engaged in that sin, but they've repented and they're trying to live a new life, but you don't give them the grace that God gives them. You don't give them the mercy that God shows them. You're either adding to the law, which makes you a lawgiver, or you're judging outside of Scripture, which makes you a judge. You're not the lawgiver. You're not the judge. So don't add to what the Scripture says, and don't judge people who are trying to live a repentant life. All right, then James 4:12 says this: there's only one lawgiver and judge. He was able to save and to destroy. But who are you to judge your neighbor? A quick note, just Matthew 10:28, Jesus says, don't have fear of anything except the one who can destroy body and soul. So that's what James is sort of like alluding to, this thing that Jesus said, there's one lawgiver. He's the one that has all the power. He's basically just talking about God's omnipotence, his almighty power. There's one lawgiver and judge. Who are you to judge your neighbor? If you turn over to Romans 14, you can see this: who are you to pass judgment on the servant of another? It is before his own master that he stands or falls, and he will be upheld, for the Lord is able to make him stand. Who are you to pass judgment on the servant of another? Who do you think Paul's talking about here? How does this apply into our situation? Well, when you judge a brother, that's a servant of God. It's not your job to judge other people's servants. It's God's job to judge his servants. And then you can see even bigger ramifications of this in verses throughout the Old Testament that talk about God is the one who will judge the nations. It's not our job even to judge the nations. So all this, we've gone through this verse, we've gone through these two verses phrase by phrase, and so that all leads me to this big idea. I am just a neighbor called to love my neighbors. I'm just a neighbor called to love my neighbors. But let me give you the expanded edition, which is this: I am just a neighbor, not a judge or a lawgiver, called to love my neighbors, my brothers in Christ. But I'm just a neighbor called to love my neighbors. That's our big idea. So, doing your job and letting God do his. By now I hope you realize, what is your job? To love your neighbor, right? And so our job is to love. And the question is, how? So let me ask you this. Practically speaking, how do you see the opportunity to love your neighbor, to love your brothers and sisters in Christ in the church? How do you see that? What are some ways that you can do that practically? Listen. Excellent. Show compassion. Empathy. Some over here. Encourage them. Yeah, excellent. Anything else? Pray for them. What was the last one? Text and call. Yeah, stay in communication with people. And don't judge them. Very good. You can go in your Bible app or online and look up the one another verses. You'll see verses about how we're supposed to live and live with and treat each other, encourage one another, bear one another's burdens, lift one another up. There's many more than that. It's a great little, if you need some Bible study for your devotional time sometime, just look up the one another's. You could spend a day on each of those phrases. So guys, men, I know, are leaving the church. People are leaving the church because they feel unwelcome. They're really not sure if the gospel's for them, because when they look at people who say that they believe in the gospel, they're speaking harshly. They're being hypercritical. They're not being loving. And, you know, when you are following a gospel of love and then you are not loving, you're a hypocrite. And if all, of all the things that we hear criticisms of the church in the world, hypocrisy is probably one of the things that we hear the most. And I think this passage speaks to one of the main sources of hypocrisy in the church, is when we speak harshly of each other. We need to be known as a people who speak well of each other, who lift each other up, who encourage each other, and who bear one another's burdens. It's not our job to be the lawgiver. It's not our job to be the judge. It's just our job to be a neighbor, called to love your neighbors. Let's pray. Well, Father, we live in a world that is harsh. We don't want to reflect that harshness. We live in a world that somebody says the wrong thing, they are vilified and canceled forever. We don't want the church to be a place that's like that. Lord, we live in a world where people build themselves up by tearing others down. We don't want to be a people that do that. And Lord, especially with our brothers and sisters in Christ, we want to be people who never speak harshly, who always seek forgiveness, who always seek to offer compassion and grace and mercy, because Lord, you offered us compassion and grace and mercy when we did not deserve it, out of your perfect love. You took our sins on yourself and made us righteous in the sight of the Father. Lord, how can we forget that? How can we treat each other poorly after all that you've done for us? So Lord, I pray that you would convict us, Lord, that you would show us a better way, that we would love each other well, and that we would be known as a people who treat each other as neighbors. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for joining us today. You can find the Man in the Mirror Bible Study wherever you listen to podcasts, as well as on our YouTube page. If you have found this helpful, please subscribe, give us a 5-star rating, and share the podcast with friends. Since 1986, Man in the Mirror has been teaching the Bible, helping us reflect deeply as men and apply God's truth to our lives. This Bible study is recorded in front of a live audience every Friday morning outside of Orlando, Florida. If you need help navigating your life or leading other men, please go to maninthemirror.org and check out our vast library of Bible study videos, blogs, and articles on Christian growth and leadership. There are plenty of resources you can use to grow in your faith and help others grow too. At maninthemirror.org, you will find books written just for men, helpful materials for your church's ministry to men, and even a potential career in men's discipleship. If you're a man personally struggling in life, or you need help in discipling men, please send us an email at BibleStudy@maninthemirror.org and let us know how we can help.